So we are doing this text called Mana Shodhanam. Mana means mind and Shodhanam means purification. Mana Shodhanam. And they say that mental purification is essential for spiritual practice. If somebody wants to evolve spiritually, no matter how many books you may read, you may memorize all the scriptures, have all the knowledge, do a lot of service and maybe go to all the places of pilgrimage and go to all the holy places. But until your mind is not pure, you will not evolve spiritually. You will not progress, not only in the spiritual field, but also in the material field. You may have a lot of power. You may be the president or you may be the CEO of a corporation. But if your mind is not pure, if your mind is not pure of the negativities, then you will not be able to perform your job very well and you will become selfish or you will get easily. And a couple of weeks back, we had talked about what is the impurity of the mind, what is a pure and an impure mind. The impurities of the mind are twofold. I think we had talked about that. I'll just briefly summarize. One is ignorance. I don't know who I am. And the second is all the negative qualities that we have in us, anger, greed, jealousy, hatred. So the goal of every individual is to purify his or her mind, and only then progress on the spiritual path can be possible. Not only that, but when the mind is impure, when it is full of a lot of anxiety, when it is full of agitation, when it is full of disturbance, then such a mind cannot be calm, cannot be relaxed, because the mind has a lot of internal agitations. The example we had talked about a few weeks ago is that there is a bucket of water outside and the sunlight is reflected on the bucket. And even though the room is dark, because of the sunlight's reflection, the bucket reflects light into the room. But if that water in the bucket is dirty or it is agitated, the sunlight will not be reflected. So my mind, which is either if it is agitated, if it is disturbed, or if it is full of a lot of dirt or negative tendencies, then such a mind cannot relax, cannot focus, and ultimately that's when all the sorrows, all the problems occur in life. So they say that the purification of the mind is the essential requirement for a spiritual seeker, and even in the material world, for a person to be truly successful. You know, you may be very rich or very powerful, but if you do not have good qualities of purity and love and compassion, then nobody will care for you. You may be a multimillionaire. You may be Howard Hughes. He was a billionaire, but his mind was so disturbed. He spent his last years in the penthouse of this hotel in Texas, where he was afraid even to eat the food. Why? Because he was afraid germs will come or somebody will poison me. So his mind was disturbed. He had all the wealth. He had anything he wanted he could buy, but he could not buy peace of mind. So only through knowledge and only through the right activities, doing the right things, can the mind be purified. So in this text, it tells us how to purify the mind and how to remove the negativities of the mind. As I said, there are two kinds of problems. One is ignorance, that I don't know that I am who I am. And secondly, I do not have the ability to remove all these negativities through knowledge and through practice. So as we do this text, it will become clear how slowly I can remove my negativities, how slowly I can remove my anger, how slowly I can remove my agitation, how slowly I can remove my pride, my prejudice, all these negativities. So let us do verse number 2. It's on page 6. Jnane na tu tu tag jnane. Jnane na tu tadag jnane. Nashte bhati swayam hi saha. Satyametat tathapiha. Satyametat tathapi kashtamekam cha vartate tamekam cha vartate. So Ajnana means ignorance. Ignorance can only be removed by knowledge. If I am ignorant of Russian, only way I can have that removed is by finding a teacher who will teach me Russian. If I am ignorant of geography or history or math or whatever, I have to have the knowledge. So similarly, they say that my essential nature here, which is symbolized as Om, which is the all-pervading consciousness. They say God is all-pervading. Last week, I think Dr. Shukla had talked about that the Lord of the universe, which we call as Brahman, is all-pervading. He's everywhere. And his essential nature of this Lord is Sat, that is permanent existence. Chit means consciousness or the understanding of the life, and Anand or bliss. So God is permanent. He always was. He is all-knowing. That all the scriptures say, and he is always blissful. They never show God as being unhappy or suffering or miserable. So, but God is everywhere. He is in everything. So if he is in everywhere, he is in everything, then he is in me also as the life. And that is why I am alive. So if everything is that God, then I am also permanent. I am also knowing and I am also blissful. So my true nature is bliss. My true nature is Anand, is happiness. We had done that last week in the first verse. But yet I feel miserable. Yet I feel that problems arise. Yet some stress comes, I am not able to handle it. Difficulties come, I get stressed out easily. And they could be real problems. They could be problems, financial problems, family problems, money problems, job-related issues, or they could be internal. I'm just prone to get stressed easily. So they could be external or they could be internal. So why do we get stressed? Because I do not know that this is my essential nature. So that's why he says that Jnane na tu tad ajnane, the ignorance that I am of the nature of bliss or happiness is not known to me. So I go to the teacher and I read the scriptures, and it shows, says that you are blissful. Because this whole universe is nothing but an expression of the Lord, just as all the parts in the world are an expression of mud. Whether they are a blue pot or a yellow pot or a green pot, they are all mud expressing as parts. Though the parts may look different, but in reality they are mud. Similarly, the Lord of the universe created this whole universe out of himself. So we are all a little parts. We are all a little expressions of that infinite universe. And when the ignorance goes away, then the self shines. Svayam bhati. And that is the truth. Satyam etat. Even though that is the truth, it is difficult for us to understand. The best example we can give is that why am I miserable? Even though I am of the nature of bliss, reminds me of a little story. There was this man walking. It was dark. And under us, there were, you know, multiple street lights along the street. And the man was walking and he comes to this little old lady and she's searching for something under the street light. So he says, Grandma, what's the matter? What are you searching? She looked very worried. So she said, I lost my needle, you know, and I sew for a living. And if I don't have my needle, how am I going to sew? So he says, oh, let me help you. So he starts searching, you know, everywhere under that light. And after a while, another man comes. He says, what are you looking for? They said, oh, this poor old lady lost her needle. So, oh, let me help you. So, like that, 8 or 10 people, men and women, are all searching under the light for this needle. And they're going wider and wider circles, and they don't find it. After about 20 minutes, one of the men asked the lady, Grandma, can you tell us where did you drop the needle? You know, because if we know where you dropped it, then we can narrow the search, you know, because we are just searching everywhere. She says, I dropped the needle in my house. So, you dropped the needle in your house? Then why are you searching here? She said, because in my house is dark. I don't have electricity. In those days, they didn't have electricity. And my house is dark and there's light here, so I'm searching over here. But we laugh at that lady, but our condition is the same, because our peace of mind has been lost within us. Within us, we have this sorrow. We have lost our peace of mind within, and we are searching it out into the world of objects. Why? Because nobody wants to look within and see where the source of problem is. And so we look outside, you know, the next husband I have, it'll remove my sorrow, or the next car, or the next house, or the next job. So if I change my city, or I'm tired of living in this country. So we are looking for happiness outside, but our source of unhappiness is within. Our source of sorrow is within. So that is what they're saying, that this knowledge, this consciousness that is all pervading. They say God is everywhere. If God is everywhere, why can't I see him? Why can't, you know, God, you know, I can touch him, or why can't I know him? So they say he is covered by ignorance, the vasanas. Vasanas is the ignorance. Like, now the sun is so powerful, you know, the sun is very powerful. It's 93 million miles away. And its light is illumining not only the earth, but illumining the entire universe, all the Mars and the Neptune and Venus. But say a cloud comes and they say, oh, the cloud has covered the sun. Today is a cloudy day. And the whole day you don't see the sun, and people get very depressed. Or in the winter, especially, I've heard that in the northern areas where, like in the Alaska or in Iceland, in the northern areas where sometimes they don't see the sun for 6 months. I have a friend who actually lives in Iceland. And he said, for 6 months, we don't see the sun, and they have major cases of depression. He's a physician, and he says, I see so much depression. So they say the sun is covered by the cloud. Now the sun is 93 million miles away, and it is bright and illumining the whole universe, all the planets. The cloud may be 5 or 10 miles, you know, just a tiny little cloud, and the sun is millions of miles. So how can that little cloud cover that sun? The little cloud cannot. It is my vision, because the cloud comes in front of me. And so because the cloud is obscuring my vision, I'm not able to see the sun. And we say, the cloud has covered the sun. Just as I put my finger in front of my eye, and I cannot see the room. Why? Because that little finger, if it's very close enough, it can obscure my vision. The second point of this example is that the cloud can only be seen if the sun is present. Even though they say the cloud is covering the sun, but say if it's dark, you know, if the earth is away, then no matter how many clouds are there, you can't see them. It's only in the light of the sun that you are able to see the cloud. If there was no sun, it was pitch black, there might be hundreds of clouds, you wouldn't see them. So they say that my nature as permanent happiness or bliss, and the Lord of the universe, which is truly what my nature is, because I am of that nature, of that total consciousness, just as everything is that consciousness, so I am also. But it is my ignorance, which we call as vasanas, which obscure this knowledge that I am of the nature of bliss. So this ignorance is very tiny, while the Lord of the universe is all-pervading. But because my mind is obscured by this ignorance called vasanas, which is the selfish desires, then I'm not able to see the Lord of the universe as my own nature. And so that is the problem. That's what the problem is. That the moment we in meditation, that's what we say, meditation is not doing, but meditation is right understanding. So when we meditate, we do two things. First of all, we do the exercises to quieten the mind. As we all do, you know, when in the orientation we'll be talking to the new people, that we watch the breath and we relax the body and we chant the mantra. So as you are doing those exercises, slowly your mind becomes quieter. And in that silence of the mind, you can then turn your attention inward to the Lord's presence within. So they say the problem is that I do not have the right knowledge and my mind is not able to understand and my mind is not able to relax. So as we quieten the mind, as we relax the mind through the various exercises, you know, then slowly in that quiet mind, then the knowledge shines. That's what he says, that the knowledge is there. God is already within me, but I do not know that. And so it is my ignorance which does not allow me. And the ignorance is called vasanas. It is the lifetimes of ignorance that I am this body, I am this enjoyer, I am this doer. And as long as I have this idea that I am this body, mind and intellect, and that is even an ant thinks like that, even a dog or an elephant. We all think that I am this body, and lifetimes we have been thinking that. In our Vedanta, the teachers tell us that you do not say I am the body, but you say I have the body. I am of the nature of consciousness, and I have this body, I have this mind, and I have this intellect. So with the body, I'm able to function and perceive the objects. With the mind, I deal with the emotions. With the intellect, I deal with the thoughts. So with this equipment, I function in the world, but I am not this body. I am the owner of this body. The moment you say, I am this body, then the body's problems become my problems. The moment you say, I am the mind, then the mind's problems become my problems. The moment you say, I am the intellect, then the intellectual success, failure becomes mine. So all the saints and the wise people tell us that you are that consciousness, just as Jesus said that the Father in heaven and I are one. And once he had experienced that oneness, then no matter what people could do to him, no matter what problems came to him, or all these great saints, if you look at it, the world has persecuted them, but they have become one with their true nature. And so the problem is that. The problem is ignorance, and the problem is not abiding in that knowledge. The one is I know, like we said, okay, you are that consciousness. But then the problem comes in abiding in that knowledge. Why? Because we are not trained to look inwards. Our mind is always looking for happiness outside. There is a very famous line in the Upanishads, Paranchi khani vyatranat swayambhu, tasmat paran pasyati na antaratmana. The Creator made the sense organs to look outside, the eyes to look outside, the ears to hear outside, the nose to smell, the tongue to taste, the skin to touch. So all my organs are trained to look outwards. And so I'm all the time, the eyes want to see something, the ears want to hear something, the nose wants to smell, the tongue wants to taste or eat. So we are all the time looking in things for that joy. And yes, there is a temporary joy when you eat an ice cream or when you meet somebody you like or when you get some property or you get something you wanted, there is temporary joy, but then that joy very quickly disappears. Because that person, you know, after you married, after a while that, you know, becomes a relationship, becomes okay. That ice cream, okay, after a while the joy or taste wears off. The new dress or the new house or the new car, after a while the new car is good, and then the first time you have an accident, then your car becomes miserable. So the joy of objects is only temporary. So they say find the joy within, that turn inward and realize that the Lord of the universe, who is of the nature of bliss, is my true nature. That is what I really am. And that is what we practice in our meditation. And one has to constantly remove the negativities, the vasanas. The vasanas are my selfish tendencies, and they can be removed by service, by love, and by the right knowledge. So I love God who is within me, and I want to be one with Him. Through reading, I come to know who this God is, and through the service, when I serve the world, then I serve that one Creator. So that is what the essential nature of my life is, and that is what this text will talk about. So I thought I would end here, and if anybody has any questions or anything that we can cover in more detail about this particular text or anything else. Okay, bliss or not pleasure? That's a good question. Pleasure is happiness I get from something, which is temporary. As I said, I eat one ice cream, I get happy. But then if I eat two ice creams, three ice creams, four ice creams, then it turns to sorrow. Or if I get a new car, or I get a new, house, or a new job, or a spouse, or whatever. So pleasure is related to an object. It is of the nature of duality, that I plus that object, I am happy. Now I minus that object, I become unhappy. So I was unhappy, then I got the object. For a while I was happy. And then that object left me, that person left me, or that, whatever the job I had, I lost. Or once I got the job and then I found there are problems in that job. So whatever happens, but the joy that is caused by an object is called pleasure. And that is temporary. That is changeable. That can be lost. But bliss is the permanent joy which the saints experience. Because they become one with that Father in heaven. They become one with that reality. And then that joy becomes permanent. And that is bliss. Bliss is not caused by an object. Bliss is my true nature. Because the Lord is of the nature of permanent bliss, and that is my true nature. So I am also that. I am not separate from the Lord. And so bliss is permanent. Bliss is within. Pleasure is temporary. It is caused by objects. So that is the difference between bliss and pleasure. And unless you find happiness within, no matter what you get in the world, it will not give you permanent happiness. So they say, seek within. That's even the Christ said, the kingdom of God lies within. What he meant was that God is everywhere, but if you want to find him within as your life. And once you do that, then no matter what problems come in the world, you will not be disturbed. And that's why they say, go within and find the joy within, find the kingdom of God within. Once you have found it, then the world can crucify you, the world can torture you, the world can do anything, but cannot disturb your inner peace. That's what it says, we used to teach the children, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words cannot hurt me. So you matter what a person may break my bones, say anything sorrowful or whatever, but I am remain established. So that is the nature of permanent joy. Yeah, well, those of us who practice meditation, we have done this was from a previous talk, because we take meditation as an activity. I sit down and I watch my breath and I close my eyes and then I relax the body and then I chant the mantra. And that is all doing. But truly meditation is to understand that I am of the nature of consciousness. So once you have done the preliminary, and that is necessary, you have to sit down, you have to watch your breath. So what you do is you sit with the back erect, you close your eyes, you relax the body, you watch the breath. Most of you have done that, chant the mantra. So these steps are doing, the first six steps. And that is preparatory. You prepare your body and your mind by practicing these steps. And then once you have done that, then the seventh step is true meditation, where in that silence, when your mind has become quiet, then you turn the mind's attention inward to God's presence within, and in that quiet mind, then that self shines through, then the Lord's presence comes through. That's why when you're in the presence of saints, you are very quickly able to see God in the saint, because they have minimum of vasanas, minimum of agitations. Their mind is all the time quiet, and they are always in that silence. And that's why when you're in the presence of saints or wise people, you yourself feel very quiet, very peaceful. Why? Because they have become one with the self. They have minimum of vasanas or negative tendencies. Their mind is not agitated, and they are constantly in that silence. So true meditation is to quieten the mind and then stay in that silence, and then you are not doing anything. Then you are. That's what they say, I am. So that silence is true meditation. So through practice, you come to experience that silence. And then once you have experienced that silence in your meditation, then no matter where you are always in touch with that inner silence. And then that's why they say a person who is meditating is all the time in that peace, in that silence. Why? Because he has encountered. That's what Swami Chinmayananda said, that how long should I meditate? Somebody asked him. He said, you should meditate 24 hours a day. So when he says 24 hours a day, does not mean that you sit 24 hours a day. It means that once you have encountered that peace, then that becomes a permanent part of your life. And that is the benefit of meditation, that it brings me in touch with my inner silence, my inner peace. And then such a person can function in the world and always be in touch with that inner silence. Or the beads. Yeah, the beads is a very good technique. That is the chanting of the mantra, yeah. That is the sixth. So when you are moving the beads in meditation, what you're doing is, that is prior to meditation. So these are all steps 1 to 6 are preparatory. Seventh is the actual meditation. So when you are moving the beads, what you're doing is, as the each time the bead moves, you are chanting the mantra. You can say Om Namah Shivaya. You can say the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. For a Muslim, it could be Allahu Akbar. For a Buddhist, it could be Om Mani Padmane Om. So as you chant, or a lot of people just only do Om. So when you chant the mantra and you move the bead, then each time you chant the mantra, you move one bead and then you move another. So the point is that when your attention is on the mantra and on the bead, then you are not thinking of anything else. So as you are moving the beads, that is an aid to quietening the mind. Because the mind, the moment you sit down, starts running. You know, the moment I get up in the morning and sit for meditation, immediately my mind says, I have to go to work, I have to get up and make coffee, what am I going to wear, whom am I going to meet? So the mind is running. So when you sit down, the mind does not stay in one place. So chanting with the beads, what it does is it focuses the mind and quietens the mind. And then the quiet mind is a peaceful mind. If the mind is disturbed, then that's when all the problems arise. So the goal of meditation is to quieten the mind. And once the mind is quiet, then that person is happy. So the beads are helpful technique. It's like if I'm trying to just, you know, chant Om, and that is good. But then my mind will wander. But when I say Om and then I move the bead and then I move the bead, then what it is doing is it is providing an external support for my chanting. So that's a beneficial technique, helps to quieten the mind.